169 and feeling fine. Welcome to the latest episode of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where we're driven by a selfless devotion to excellence week after week. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cam.
And as a reminder, you can check us out at iTunes. Please give us a good review and maximum stars. This week, after sort of failing to do so during a visit by the overwhelmingly hilarious and entertaining Michael Winslow last week, we are going to try once again to have a discussion of self-driving cars and the like. But first, it's time to put the car in reverse, take you back a week, and kick things off with our weekly geekly weekly update. And Chris, why don't you kick things off?
Sure. Well, the geeky things I did, I saw Ant-Man. I liked it. It gets the Negline seal of approval right there. And also, spoilers, there's a couple of teasers that will tease you at the end during the mid-credits.
What?
Surprise, surprise, right?
Mm.
All right, so on the gaming side of things, kind of had a repetitive sort of feeling to it. With my girlfriend, we did Mice and Mystics. In case you didn't know, it's a dungeoneering, you know, dungeon adventure style game, but it's with mice that cast spells and swing swords as they fight the cats and try to crawl around alchemist benches and kitchens. We've talked about it before on our previous episodes. And with my son, we did Super Dungeon Explorer, which kind of has the same feel to it, but it more tries to give off the vibe that you're playing a video game and doing what we old-timers would call Gauntlet, if you guys remember that.
Love that game, yep.
Yeah.
Basically, you're not only fighting monsters, but each monster comes from a spawning point. And taking out the spawning point is part of your strategy. And then on the comic book side, I picked up two older titles. I mean, not too old, but I think most of them have done their run, or as close as we can get. One is called Jupiter's Legacy, and it's sort of like a Kingdom Come redo. The superheroes of the world now have kids and grandkids, and that's a lot of power in the hands of a few people as they start thinking they're above and beyond the law as well as the rest of humanity. And also, on the flip side, funny enough, probably the inspiration for all we did Mice and Mystics earlier is I also got the Mouse Templar. I take that back. The Mice Templar, which is kind of a cool combination of fantasy and mystic as well as kind of fairy tale all rolled into one. And it starts off with this mouse who's grown up hearing about the tales of the Templar Order, probably becomes the chosen one to restart the Order. And as a spin, these mice live in a, I guess, a pocket dimension that only exists during night. So during the day, people can drive around their cars and stuff, and they don't see where these mice are hidden. So one of the little codes they have is you must always go to sleep before the day starts, or you might slip into the human world and then just be a regular mouse versus one that has a sword and stuff. So it's cool. And that about wraps up my Geekly Weekly.
Awesome, sir. Sounds good. And I will now pass the mic figuratively over to you, Brian.
I have been playing PlayStation 4, and I kind of can't believe it.
Me neither.
I went early this month to download the latest PlayStation Plus freebies, and there were just a couple of games, like, lined up that I thought would be interesting to play. So I've been playing Generic Shooter that was free a couple months ago. And by free, I mean they let you play the game, but you have to pay real money to upgrade any of your items or skills permanently. So F that game. And there's a neat little racing game. And honestly, I'm pretty good at video games, and I'm pretty good at driving. I suck at racing games. Like, I do not comprehend how I can be so bad at racing games. And last, Rogue Legacy. Any of you guys see that when it was free a little while ago?
I've heard of the game. I don't remember it being free. Yeah.
So everybody knows what a rogue-like is, where you die over and over and start over and over and build the kind of ancestry for your character.
Uh-huh.
Well, this one's a rogue Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Whoa, what? Really?
Yeah, it's actually pretty neat. And One of the things that, like, I'm really intrigued about, I thought it was cute at first, but it's really functional in the game. When you start the game, you pick one of three characters, and he might be an Archmage with irritable bowel syndrome and obsessive compulsive disorder, or a ninja with, you know, double jointed limbs and gigantism. All of these crazy stats that kind of sound funny, but they all affect the game in some way. A couple of the characters have photographic memory, which means they remember where every monster is, and that shows up on the map. So you can remember, oh, I didn't clear this room, or the person who's, I think it's called flexible is the trait. You can turn your facing in the middle of a sword swing where other characters can't. Like, basically the animation has to finish before you can turn around. So it really changes the game. One of the characters suffers from vertigo, so the screen's just upside down. And you have to play, like, thinking upside down, so those characters never last very long.
Whoa.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but can't you, like, marry characters, or somehow they get kids or grandkids and the traits get passed on?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of another game.
Kind of. There's no, like, marriage or selection or anything, but it's always, like, you know, you're the last one's son, daughter, whatever.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of cool. So now the name Rogue Legacy makes a ton of sense.
So, especially if you are a PlayStation Plus member already, free can't be beat. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's basically an Xbox Live game, so graphics aren't great, and I get the impression it's not hundreds of hours long. I mean, I've been playing it all week and haven't finished it yet, so definitely worth a look.
Cool, man. Glad to have you on the PS4. Cam and I are firing ours up, getting ready in anticipation of our Final Fantasy 14 push.
Absolutely.
So, I'm shocked to hear you're not good at driving games, Brian. I remember you being really good at F-Zero back in the day.
Yeah, I think this is the difference between, like, F-Zero and Gran Turismo. The driving simulation games. So, like, an arcade racer, I remember being pretty good at. But, like, these weird, like, you have to drift for style points, and you have to draft because it makes you go faster and all that kind of stuff. Not so much.
Oh, okay.
Apparently watching as much Top Gear as I do doesn't really help at all.
Well, you'll have to get on to, what is that? Everyone's playing now Rocket League or whatever. I think that's what it's called. That there's some kind of racing game on the PS4 that everyone's playing. Maybe we'll get on there, see how you do. But anything else?
I finally got to play. I know I was excited about this a little while ago, but I didn't play it for one reason or another. Viceroy. At the Adventure Game Store gaming nights. Really cool game. Lost horribly, but I'm pretty used to doing that when Cam's around. Neat game. I really like it. It's kind of a mix between Seven Wonders and Splendor.
Yes. Ooh. Absolutely. That's what I got too. And that game that we played last night prompted me to go out today and buy it.
Nice. That sounds cool. I like both of those games. So if this is sort of a hybrid of those, that might be really awesome.
Really cool game. Everybody's dealt out like two starting characters for their pyramid of power. And then from then on, you have to bid on it. And it actually kind of discourages really aggressive bidding because you can just like wind up with nothing. After the third auction, if you don't win, you don't win. Sorry, guys. You just wasted all that money.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a cool mechanic. It's like a hybrid bid slash draft almost, and negotiation too, because you can like negotiate with the other players. Like, all right, I want this one. You take that one, but you don't have to like hold true to what you say. And you can kind of like outwit people and get things that you might not have otherwise gotten.
Get kicked under the table for lying about what you.
Speaking from personal experience, there.
Yes, yes. I said I wanted blue, and I didn't have any blue to buy it with, so I didn't bid on blue, and someone took affront to that.
It was not me, by the way.
I was just gonna say, you guys, what are you guys playing footsies under the table?
No,
now?
We had other players involved.
Gaming night has evolved.
Yes, but no, great game. I actually first thing I did this morning was look for a copy to buy.
Huh? I'll have to check it out. That was on my list, and then we just haven't had a chance yet.
Well, Thursday night.
Yep.
Yeah. There's none at the Adventure Game Store in Davie, Florida. Swing on by and play Viceroy.
Our amazing sponsors, yes, absolutely. Yes.
Feet will be flying under the table, so watch yourself.
Bring some combat boots.
Yes, anything else, Brian?
Nope.
Cam, you're up.
Oh, man, I'm still hungover from Gen Con, not in the, like, drinking aspect, but just the experience that it was. It was so amazing. It was my first Gen Con. It will not be my last, that's for sure. I think I'll be going every year for the next, rest of my life. But it was absolutely amazing. I came home with probably, I'd say, 40 to 50 games. I've just been sorting those, like, since, that's not even counting all the promos and other things that I picked up, all the other swag that I picked up there. Just been sorting through those. I brought some of those to game night to play. Some of them we really liked. Some of them kind of did not like. One of those being Codenames, which is actually tagged on BoardGameGeek as the number one game, at least buzz-wise, from Gen Con. I couldn't stand it. we literally played it. We played it, what, Thursday, Brian? And I already had it traded by Friday.
I will say I liked some of the house rules. Like, with a little bit of modding, that game's pretty tolerable.
I'm not going to say it's a bad game. It was like memory. You know, what was that game where you, like, just turn over cards and, like, yeah, you have to remember where the match is, you know?
Memory, like, or concentration.
Concentration, yeah, something like that. I mean, I just couldn't stand it. And it's, you know, I got really good value for it in a trade because it was a Gen Con exclusive. And it's not going to be released for another month or so. So I traded for, was it a Study in Emerald? Cthulhu-based epic sort of board game. So I'm looking forward to getting that back in the mail from my trading partner. Let's see what else. I've been trading a lot of games, actually. I typically buy, you know, multiple copies of games. And so I've been doing a lot of trading on BoardGameGeek. You know, went to board game night, played some of the games, like I said, went and saw the atrocious Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, this no. Weekend.
Oh. Yeah, it was and then I couldn't even get a bone at the end. There was no Easter egg, which pissed me off. Sat through all the credits to get nothing. And, I guess I probably should have looked that up on the internet before I went in, but yeah, you know, I don't like spoilers. So, and then that's about it. Just gaming at the Adventure Game Store. Digging out from, my week-long experience at Gen Con, lots of trading and, preparing for our, PS4 Final Fantasy saga.
I have Excellent. A theory about Fantastic Four.
Go on, hit it.
I don't think they're going to get the movie right until they get Doctor Doom right. There's a lot of other issues, don't get me wrong, but one of the main ones is if you can't get Doctor Doom right, or you have to feel like you got to fiddle with him, just quit.
And that's been the case in all, like, they just feel like the character can't stand as he's been. They always have to put their own spin on it so far, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, why is that? Because their spin sucks.
Well, you know, Fantastic Four is owned by Fox, I think. And along with the Mutants. And Spider-Man's owned by Sony as a side comment, by the way, which is why Spider-Man is going to show up here in the upcoming Marvel films, because Sony and Marvel kind of reached an agreement. But it feels like Fox just does not want to let that go or meet anybody in the middle. So they're trying what they can with Fantastic Four.
I think Sony may have seen what Marvel's doing to Fox and avoided that.
Exactly.
Oh, in other words, just ending the Fantastic Four comic series?
There's no mutants in Marvel anymore, either.
They're all becoming Inhumans.
Right, they're like, is it Inhuman or New Human? Or they don't use that word anymore.
Wow, they're going that nuclear?
Yes.
Like, wow, mutant was like synonymous with the X-Men, but they're just going away from that now. Jeez. I really don't know how to feel about this, because on one hand, like, I'm sure these people, like, Marvel sold them these licenses in good faith and without, you know, any ill intention or I didn't think there, I don't suppose there's any chicanery afoot or anything at the time, but their Marvel's fortunes have changed, and now they are a powerhouse.
Well, number one, it's Hollywood, so don't ever think something was ever done in good faith.
Yeah, right.
And number two, you know, the other company, Fox, was holding all the cards. And, you know, when you hold all the cards, there's no such thing as fair play either. So Marvel, you know, that's one of the reasons why they got motivated to do their own studio, is they could see how much of the profits they weren't getting a share of. And now that they're getting the full share as their own studio, we've seen what that does.
Arcane copyright law aside, I really think this is best for the fans, which I think should have some say in it. They can't do good movies. Let someone else.
Yeah, strike a deal. Make your percentage off the, you know, you made a good move buying that. You know, let the company that actually came up with it do all the work and you take a percentage now. What's the problem?
Stop crapping a movie out every 3 years just so you can do it again next 3 years.
Well, you know, I think for Fox that might be part of their ego, because basically their positions will have been flipped, and God forbid Fox admit that they aren't the top dog in the fight. But, I mean, from what I see, I could be just spitballing here, but I think basically what happens is Fox tries to do a Fantastic Four film. They kind of just dick around about it, to excuse my French. And then they see that their time for getting a movie out is up, or they're going to lose the rights, and then they just spit one out as quick as they can so they can keep the rights as they try to figure out what to do next time. So that's why we always keep getting origin stories, because they're trying to reboot the franchise and cross their fingers as they squeeze their eyes, you know?
Yeah. Just get it to stick, basically.
Exactly.
Well, they've done a shit job of it. So Fox owns Fantastic Four. What else do they? What else of Marvel?
I think they also do the Mutants.
Well, they own Deadpool, don't they?
No, I think Deadpool is Marvel, but I could be wrong.
Wait, the same people that keep making these awful Fantastic Four movies have been making pretty decent X-Men movies, actually, recently? Is that Fox or is that Sony?
I think X-Men is Sony.
Yeah. Cam, what do you think? X-Men's been pretty solid lately.
I've had no problem with the X-Men movies at all. I've liked them. I don't think they've been on par with the other Marvel, you know, the Avengers and Iron Man's, you know, the other Marvel movies, but certainly exponentially above the Fantastic Four and the Spider-Man movies, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man movies have been horrible as well. And it sucks because, well, I mean, Fantastic Four, I don't mind so much because, I mean, it wasn't really my favorite. I mean, I read it growing up, but it wasn't really one of my, you know, huge favorites. But I really, you know, Spider-Man was one of my favorites, and it's just really sucks to see those movies and how bad they're doing with them.
Yes.
I mean, you know, because the potential is there. I mean, look, if Marvel can make a good movie out of Ant-Man, then there is no reason that they can't make a good, you know, someone can't make a good Spider-Man movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason.
Yeah, and I think we discussed this in the past. This is just Marvel, like, showing, like, we are literally going to make a Howard the Duck movie that's going to be better than the Fantastic Four movies you're crapping out at this point.
It is. It's awful.
Blindfolded, people. Blindfolded.
But yeah, that's rough. But I mean, yeah, other than stinky movie aside, and all the other stuff, I went to Disney for a day or two and stayed at the Boardwalk All-Star Resort.
Oh, nice.
Which was awesome. Hit up Magic Kingdom for the millionth time, but I love it every time I go. And that is pretty much all I did during my week.
Cool. Brings it around to me. We sort of hijacked your update there, Cam, but I'll be brief.
No worries.
I was in Orlando as well, but for work, and was so tired at the end of my long shifts that I had no time for Disney, even though I was really close. The hotel I was working at was right near downtown Disney and really close to the parks, but I just didn't have it in me to go, and flew right back out to Seattle after that. Whereas when I go back about 6 months from now, I will definitely parlay that into a Disney trip. Plus, the weather in March will be a lot nicer than it is in August in Orlando. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, went on that trip. It's funny that you mentioned it. On the trip, one of the entertainment options on the plane was the Avengers 2 movie, and I watched it, and I was like, yeah, this was pretty good. This was a good movie, as I recall. And but the only complaint I really had about it, I still have, they have so many cool characters and so many cool things going on. They could have probably made Avengers 2 Part 1 and Avengers 2 Part 2. and I would have been fine with it.
Yeah, that was my sort of knock on it as well. It was a good movie. It just felt like it was just nonstop. Like I felt like I felt yes. tired after watching the movie. I was like, Jesus, how much, you know, can they pack into like one movie? That's yeah. one where they should have made it into two rather than some of these other ones where that were just cash grabs, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think we made this comparison between The Hobbit, you know. I was like, God, a break from the action, please just have some dialogue or some slow moments, you know. I think maybe the third Avengers movie could be a two-parter because you have so many characters that you want to see and so many subplots going on.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the potential to go the distance with that. So I'll just say that again regarding Avengers. Apart from that, last week before I went out to Orlando, I went on to Khan Academy. Have you heard of that? It's this online sort of learning place where you can study all sorts of topics, brush up on them. And don't ask me why, but I've had this like hankering to brush up on calculus of all things. I don't know why. I just feel like in school I was more trying to get the marks and didn't really appreciate it as an art. And so I took their pre-calculus coaching essentially and realized that I didn't remember trigonometry. So I've been doing trigonometry on Khan Academy and I'm kind of shocked how fast that's coming back to me. So I thought maybe I just phoned in all these math courses and didn't absorb anything, but it seems like I did because I'm picking this stuff up fairly quickly again.
If I never do trigonometry again, it'll be too soon.
Yeah, I mean, when you're not under the gun, it makes it more enjoyable. I got to be honest with you. So I think I've definitely crossed the threshold into too nerdy. I'm doing trig for fun. Also, I got my Windows 10 free download on my laptop, and that was just today, so I've so far observed that the start bar is back, and when I do a global search, Siri pops up. Not Siri, rather Cortana. Not Siri would be very bad. Cortana pops up. I don't know if there's any voice going along with her. I've had my volume off, and so far it's been pretty good. I think this will be better received than the other versions of Windows. It goes back to the standard way of doing things with Windows. I don't think people really ever adapted to the change away from the start menu. And this seems good so far, other than the fact that I can't turn off the keyboard lights on my laptop and or control the brightness. So I got to figure that out. And finally, I'm hoping my PAX tickets get here. I am having my mail forwarded out here by the postal service, the USPS, and I don't know where my PAX tickets are. So that's a little worrying.
Yeah, that's I have little to no faith, unfortunately, in the U.S. postal system.
I prefer, if I know ahead of time that something's going to be shipped via USPS from, like, let's say I'm buying something on Amazon, I will go to another seller. I mean, not to bash them or anything, but you know, it shouldn't be a black hole, and I should be able to call a customer service number and find out where my package is, not call my local post office and be put on hold for an hour. So. Anyway, I may or may not be enjoying PAX at the end of the month. And that's it. On that sour note, my update's complete. And now, it's on to news. So Chris, roll with the news, buddy.
Most of my news, I think, is me kind of catching up with some other news. I found out that there's been a series of lawsuits floating around the Wheel of Time intellectual property, I guess is what you want to call it. Because way back in February, this company put out a very lame pilot called Winter Dragon, had Billy Zane in it, and that was it. And it was very obvious that they were just kind of just spitting that out to try to keep their hands on the franchise before the rights reverted back to the wife. And there has been a lawsuit here and a lawsuit there. The production company even tried to say that the widow was slandering them. And she was like, I didn't even know there was a script going on, and what I saw sucked.
Oh, wow.
But lately, they basically kind of just dropped the slander lawsuit, and there's still a settlement going on. So maybe when this is all said and done, we can cross our fingers, and we can get a Wheel of Time movie, if Wheel of Time is your thing. I enjoyed the first two books, but then, I don't know, something in me told me this is just going to go on for forever, and I didn't feel like doing 5-6 books at the time. And I'm so lucky. My brother, I love him to death, but he decided he was going to stick it out and read all of them. And he was just like, well, the last one was okay.
What are we up to, like 27 books?
There's now? Like 13 or something, and the last one was done with the wife and Brandon Sanderson, who's a very talented guy. And that was kind of his breakout hit because he was a protege of Mr. Jordan. And he's been doing pretty good on his own since. He's kind of really blown up in the last 10 years doing his own stuff. Let's see. What do we got? If we could spend an hour going out into the boonies to get away from the light pollution we have here down in South Florida, we could actually check out the Perseid? I don't know how you pronounce it. Yeah, Perseid meteor shower, which has one of the highest chances of having actual like fireball like meteors versus just your regular shooting stars. Or you can just like watch the live NASA feed, which hopefully by the time this podcast airs will be floating around somewhere streaming.
Cool.
Let's see. As a personal favorite, AMC's Humans has been verified for a second season, which would be very intriguing because the original Swedish show was only one season. But we'll cross our fingers on that. A quick side comment. I found out actually that I watched the stuff streaming, so I'm about a week or two behind usually. Didn't realize this series is almost over. I need to play catch up. But I watched this certain scene where basically an android at the end of his rope very simply gets on his knees and he makes a very simple prayer to a quote unquote being that's extremely unlikely to exist. And it touched me and, got on the internet to say, I don't even know, you know, cause I'm not a very spiritual person. So that was kind of weird for me to actually be touched watching someone, something pray. And the responses I got back were there were some other people that felt the same way. They're like, yeah, I'm not spiritual, but to see that happen, got the feels right there going.
Oh, wow. That's kind of cool.
And I'm afraid that now that I've explained it, somebody going back and watching it will be like, oh, I know what's coming up. And they won't feel that particular surprise that I did. So, you know, like, I jinxed you, so.
Yeah, you ruined it. Now I can't become spiritual.
Exactly.
Thanks.
No problem. No problem. That's what I do. Thanks. I'm here to ruin your spirituality. And I'm going to end on a radically different note. In case you want to see some leaked footage for Fallout 4, I know where you can get it.
Pornhub?
Yes, Pornhub has it hidden.
What?
Yes, if you know the right files to go to where it says Buttman Sex or something like that, they have crappy leaked footage of Fallout 4.
I was on there searching Buttman Sex and it just Fallout 4 came up and I was like, yes, score. This is a twofer.
I'm trying to picture some guy explaining that to his wife. No, honey, I don't know Buttman Sex. I'm looking for Fallout footage.
Oh, man. I'm not making this up. I have proof in the link that's going to be at the bottom of the page for this episode.
That's pretty good.
I had to end on that one.
That's a good one. That's a good news roundup, man. All right. Brian, I don't know what you have in the way of Buttman Sex stories to offer, but you're up next.
Let's see. I've got something for almost everyone today. This should make Chris happy, and it certainly makes me happy. Ready Player One author Ernest Klein has apparently sealed a huge deal for his next book. You know, Armada just came out and I think was selling pretty well, although it got some pretty harsh criticism. The rumor is this is mid seven figure pact for a Woo-hoo! Single book.
Whoa.
I wish him the best. Good going. Woohoo. This is like his third or fourth book yet.
That will be his third, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we used to see those things back in the day, right? For paperbacks. Once in a blue moon. So it's nice to hear it. Scalzi actually got a multi-million dollar deal here recently for Tor. But it's also linked to like 10 years.
Yeah, I was going to say that wasn't a single book, was it?
No, it's like 10 years and 13 books or something. He's basically going to be, he's going to be their stable writer for a long time.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by this deal, but also by the hate Klein is getting. Apparently Armada is infantile pandering to 80s geeks, which kind of describes Ready Player One, and I fucking love that, so...
Yes.
I don't really see the problem.
Ready Player One, not kinda, Ready Player One, it, like, if you look up, like, pandering to 80s geeks in the dictionary, like, see Ready Player One is the definition, like, well, wait, look up pandering, and then the definition will come out. You don't look up sentences in the dictionary, I apologize.
You could probably Google that sentence, though.
Yes, there you go.
So I'm pretty excited for it, and I feel bad that I have not picked up Armada yet, but I haven't, so I'll have to support him soon.
Gotta know, Brian, if you do, how at what level Armada is written. Because I say this again, Ready Player One seemed to be written at a very accessible level, let's say.
The biggest complaints I've heard about Armada are it's apparently insanely derivative. It's pretty much Last Starfighter. So people are kind of complaining about content more than talent. So I'm thinking not much has changed, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
So that should be a pretty breezy read then.
Yeah, probably 2-3 hours, yeah.
Well, that's a lot of figures, so congratulations, Klein.
Tom, I have something for you. I think you will be woohooing yourself. Apparently, this just happened very recently. The makers of Roomba have been approved by the U.S. government for autonomous lawnmowers.
Hell yeah. Nice. That is awesome.
Oh my god. This cannot end well.
Well, what's gonna... It's just mowing the lawn. What's gonna happen? Don't.
What could potentially...
I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I am more afraid of those than I am of self-driving cars.
Now, really, what could go wrong?
I mean, I hope they sense the cats, and
I mean...
furry little squirrels, and...
Animals get out of the way, don't they? Fuck them.
I'm waiting for the day where the big old dog, hound dog, just kind of lays in the middle of the lawn, and then the guy gets home, and it's just like there's one spot. It's like why does the Roomba mower thing not get that spot? What's going on?
We've gone out of our way to pander to these lazy non-self-preservationist animals. Let them fend for themselves now in our new automated world.
And finally, Cam, I think you'll appreciate this. The Florida Turnpike rest areas are installing fast charging stations for Tesla cars.
Nice.
Woo! Woo-hoo.
So I'm kind of, you know, Florida's our home, my home, whatever. I'm pretty proud of that. That's pretty neat. I think that's
it's very forward-thinking of them.
Yeah, for once. Of course, Tesla is footing the bill entirely, so that's probably why.
Cam, you got a Tesla yet?
Not yet, but it's on my list.
Nice, nice. I might join you now that I know we can go up and down the turnpike. If only the seedy turnpike rest stops of yore were still around, it would be perfect. I don't need to get into any more detail.
The turnpike rest stops are fine. They're actually really nice. The I-95 rest stops are, you know, you're sort of taking your life into your own hands when you stop at those.
Is that what I'm thinking of? Because there were some that they closed down for all this illicit activity and so on.
Yes, both. Yes. Illicit activity having to do with man-on-man action. And
yes.
You know, and they weren't looking for Fallout 4, I can assure you.
Yeah, I'm here looking for Fallout 4. Yeah, you got it right here, buddy.
This was not what I was expecting for leaked footage.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even want to get into that, no.
But yeah, the turnpike is nice. That's my preferred mode of travel, but 95 still has a ways to go.
All right, well, let's just get our Tesla on the turnpike and all the spillage you want still to be found on CD rest stops on I-95. Enjoy.
Exactly.
Brian, were you to continue? Sorry.
No, I've made everyone happy, so my work here is done.
Yes,
thank
you.
All right, Cam, I mean, that was exciting news for you, but rest stops with charging stations, now it's your turn.
Let's see, you know, we are all huge Tolkien fans. I guess I guess he took a college writing course and wrote this story called The Story of Kullervo, which I had never heard of. Apparently it's going to be published this fall. They're going to take the text, and it's not really a complete novel. It's sort of a draft with notes and commentary and stuff like that. You know, I guess it's a new work by Tolkien that's coming out. That's pretty cool. Well, I'm definitely going to check that out. I know we are all big Steam users, right? I guess in November, their official handheld Steam machines are going to be out for $299. You can basically buy, it looks like a Sony Vita sort of, or a, it's just like a little handheld device that you can download your Steam games onto and play on the go.
Isn't it called a smartphone?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Well, I think the problem is, and I think Steam is doing this on purpose. I think these are going to be like, they're tweaking something with their operating system and Linux and stuff like that, so that, you know, it's a lot easier or better to play on these machines. I don't know. I probably won't be buying one, but it seems like there's a market for one because people are, looks like pre-orders are pretty strong, I think. So if you like your Steam games, not on your smartphone and would rather have them on a, little handheld device, you can pick one up in November. Tim Cook, Apple CEO. It appears that he is, if not one of, he is the actual highest in terms of cost for security. It costs about $700,000 a year for his personal security guards, to follow him around and make sure, he doesn't get a pie in the face like Bill Gates got a few years back, which is still one of my favorite videos on the internet. So yeah, $700,000 a year—that's a lot of iPhones just to follow him around and make sure he's personally safe.
On the bright side, Apple's hiring Americans.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You assume.
Yeah. Oh, and finally, just something that just sort of hits close to home. I live in the city of Pembroke Pines here in South Florida. And, you know, I know over the last couple of weeks, there's been this huge outcry over Cecil the Lion and that idiot that shot him and killed him. And, you know, listen, I love animals. I'm an animal lover and keeper and family member. I won't even use the word owner. I thought what happened to Cecil was horrible. I thought the media coverage was a little out of hand. But what I think really should be focused on, though, is that some asshole in my city, in my town, kicked a Pomeranian to death and then left it on the back porch of the owner with a note that said, ha ha ha, we beat your dog to death. LOL, ha 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 ha.
That's pretty monstrous. So,
in Pembroke Pines again?
In Pembroke Pines.
Of all places. Town.
Yeah, which is a nice area. It's a nice, nice little, sleepy little, you know, little city over here in the suburbs. And, I'm just outraged, and I'm just, you know, if anyone here in the South Florida area listens and knows anything about it at all, I'm putting out the Crime Stopper, call. You know, if anyone knows about this, let's find these assholes and drown them in a lake or something.
We'll kick them to death.
Yeah, kick them to death. There's a $3,000 reward for any tips that lead to their capture. But, I just thought that was disgusting. And, that does it for my news extravaganza.
All right, that's pretty awful, and I hope that we come up with self-driving ass-kicking machines to hunt down people that harm animals senselessly.
Wow. Yeah, I think the self-driving lawnmower should come preloaded to look for those fuckers.
Animal abuse detected, and then the mower just it tases you and then runs you over.
Yeah.
You end up in a lawn bag.
Oh, man.
Like
Fargo.
I won't comment on the Cecil thing. Except to say that most of the people that defaced that dentist's office in Florida home probably went out for burgers and chicken nuggets and wings,
very
ribs.
True.
You know, a double down at KFC. Just saying. Anyway.
I'll point this out. At least no chickens were harmed in the making of chicken nuggets.
There is that. There is that. Just the people are harmed in the consumption of them, but yeah. Anyway, speaking of harming people, let's talk about how many people are going to die with these self-driving cars.
Well, that's self-defeatist.
So I believe Google are the ones that are in the news most for kind of really researching this stuff. They really are putting a lot of money into creating these cars that, as the name implies, drive themselves. So you get in the car, and I guess you set your destination, and then you're done. And it takes care of the rest, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, I keep thinking of, what was that movie with Sandra Bullock and Wesley Snipes?
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man, yeah.
Yeah.
If it was like that, I'd be all for it. And those cars were fucking awesome.
So let's assume it's going to be like, I mean, let's assume that we're going towards, like, why would you ever drive on your own? The self-driving car is like a million times safer. How difficult do you think it's going to be to gain traction with the with the public?
I, you know, and this is me putting my lawyer hat on, not giving anyone legal advice, of course, but just, you know, just from a, like, from the way I think, I don't think that it would be like self-adopters. I think it would have to be some sort of safety regulation where basically once it's proven that these self-driving cars are safer than actual cars to be driven, the government will have to step in and actually either provide an incentive for people to buy them or actually flat out pass a law and say, listen, the public safety is more important than personal freedom in terms of driving. And so, you know, by X date, self-driving cars are going to have to be, you know, the rule, not the exception. Whether or not that's going to cause a shitstorm, and I'm sure a ton of cases in court, and, you know, the Supreme Court is probably going to have to rule on it and stuff like that if it ever got to that. I'm thinking it'll be more along the lines of the government providing incentives for people to adopt self-driving cars, and then it'll just sort of become, you know, at some point reach a critical mass and just take a life, you know, take on a life of its own.
I think it'll happen in other countries first before it happens in America.
Really? Why?
For sure, for sure.
Because Americans are especially proud of not letting anybody tell them what the hell they can, what they can and cannot do.
Yeah, we love our fucking cars, and the bigger the better.
We love our cars, we love our...
The lower the gas mileage, the better.
Yes.
Yeah, we love our cars, for sure.
We can't even adopt the metric system without it being a hoorah.
Yeah.
I think we're already seeing huge steps towards adoption.
Do you?
Do you mean, like, in terms of hybrid and stuff, or you just mean in terms of the actual self-driving car?
No, in terms of the self-driving car, because as much as people fight for Lyft and Uber, I don't think they give a shit who pulls up.
Yes, that's true. I don't. It could be self-driving and I would just hop in it.
You probably, I mean, you wouldn't notice. No one would care.
Right, but that's people that either don't have their own transportation or need another means of transportation. I think it's going to be a lot harder to take those keys out of people's hands. I mean, people love, I'm one of them. I won't even, you know, be bashful about it. I definitely would not be an adopter of a self-driving car unless I absolutely had to, because I like the fact that I can get in my car and I'm in control of the vehicle and I can do whatever I want, as opposed to getting into a car and then it's just taking me from point A to point B and I have like no control over what's it. Maybe it's the control freak in me. I don't know. But I think that there are a lot of like-minded people out there. I'm not saying it's the, you know, it's probably an archaic view that I have, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I know for one particular sort of lifestyle, there's going to have to be a new category created, a recreational vehicle or something. Because, I mean, you know, in the city, in the urban area, it makes sense, at least as a replacement for the taxi. But when you talk about being out in the middle of the woods and the country, and you're just trying to drive around where there are no roads on your own property, I mean, how does the self-controlled car fit into that, even if it even does? And then on top of that, if someone else can say, oh, well, they get their own recreational vehicle or whatever that can drive on its own through manual control, I want one too because I need to be in control.
Maybe I'm optimistic, but I don't see self-driving like being mandated. Like, I see it being such a huge convenience that people will want to adapt.
Yeah.
And I don't think everyone will adapt. Cam, you're absolutely right, but I think you'll be in the minority.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe.
I
think there's too much ego tied to our cars to really want to, you know, I have to take the same sort of transportation someone else does that's, you know, not in my social circle. Mm-mm.
No, you can still have a BMW versus a Honda. That's still a reality.
Yeah. And I mean, I see the appeal. Like, if I was going from like Miami to Orlando. Fuck yeah, I would turn that shit on and sit back and, you know, play video games or whatever. You know what I mean? But it would have to be like, I would be fine with it as long as I could control when it was on and when it was off.
Well, now there you go, Cam. Here is a path to adoption I can see. It starts with, it's better to use self-driving cars on the highways, on the freeways. And that evolves to, you know what, if you want to drive like toll free on these freeways, we're going to do something to incentivize you, at least on the main, you know, arterial roads, to go into self-driving mode. So you'll get a car that can do both. So you'll still have that freedom. And then eventually I think you'll get to a point where they'll be like, yeah, you know, self-drivers right lane only. Like they'll ostracize you, you know, yeah. And
like,
and then,
smokers.
Right. And then coupled with that, you're going to be like, you're going to call up your insurance company. Hi, I'd like to insure this, you know, 2025 Buick I'm buying. Okay. And, we see by your driving record that you do quite a lot of self-driving. That'll be $10,000 a year.
You're right. You're exactly right. And I'm glad you brought that up, Tom. I'm sure that there will be like high incentives to insurance wise, because I mean, if the safety record is there, you know what I mean?
And I think it will be. And once the actuaries get their claws onto, like, you know, a few years of data, they'll make such a strong case that the insurers will basically be, they'll be begging you to not use self-driving mode.
Yeah.
Or use manual mode. Yeah.
Here's another question, though. Would it let you speed?
No.
Like, could you tell it, like, self-drive mode, okay, but I want to go fucking 90 from, you know, here to Miami?
No, of course it will, because when everything is self-driving, that's not a factor anymore. That's much less of a factor.
Oh, Brian, I think I know where you're going with this. Yes, go on.
When everything is safe and controlled, then yes, speed limits are irrelevant, because there's no accidents to hold anybody up.
Right. Quote unquote, speed limits are for our safety, and those limits are because of our reaction speeds and everything. When the cars are communicating with each other and like, hey, there's an accident 3 lanes ahead or 3 miles ahead, everybody get in the right lane. And they just do that without stopping to brake, to look, to get out and help, to do whatever. Communicating on their own, you can just whiz by it at 100 miles an hour and that's still perfectly safe.
See, that's one of my pet peeves on the road, is where the accident is not even on my side of the road. It's on the opposite lane across the median, and everybody on our side slows down to rubberneck. And I'm like, why are you even looking? It's nothing you haven't seen before.
This is my case. If you want the ability to drive your car, like to still have the ability to go out of self-driving mode, you have to prove that you deserve it. If you're some rubbernecking, lane-weaving idiot for whom we have compelling data proving that you're an unsafe driver, you lose your manual abilities and you will only be in self-driving mode. Like, I'm all for, like, certain drivers being ordered never to be able to get behind the wheel, literally. Like, the habitual DUI people, the habitual reckless drivers, why not take away their rights and only let the self-driving car do the driving?
That's actually a really interesting point, because like right now everybody freaks out over, well, if I lose my license, what do I do? You just get a ride.
Right.
You just, like, the car pulls up and takes you. Like, if you get a DUI, you're done.
Right. Exactly. You know, and you know, you're 98 years old. I can't get around like I used to. Gramps, just press the go button. You don't have to do anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's basic.
So I have another scenario. Okay, so you've got your self-driving car, right? And you want to go to bed a little late. But are you in fear that your car is going to ping your smartphone and say, excuse me, you will have to get up 1 hour early because there is a traffic accident? Out of nowhere, suddenly you have to get up early if you want to reach your place of employment on the time you've told the self-driving car, or the smart car, not to be confused with the actual brand of smart car, that you want to be at work 15 minutes before you have to clock in.
Well, you hit something, like, I don't really even care about that. I mean, what hits me is the privacy issues that, like, anywhere you go, wherever you go, whatever you do is going to be tracked and monitored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest, it probably already is.
It is.
But yeah, I mean, at least you can turn off your cell phone and you can, you know, like, get in a vintage car and drive somewhere and probably not be tracked. you know, in that situation, I mean, you know, the government or whoever is just going to know where you are, what you're doing at all times. And they probably will be able to access your OnStar or whatever it is in your car and hear what you're doing or your cell phone or, you know what I mean? So
there's
the
other fear we have to touch about, right? Getting hacked.
Well,
suddenly somebody doesn't want you there and they're going to move you to where they want you to be.
I'll answer your question, Chris, before, because I want to get into this topic too. That sounds really convenient. Doon, doon. Sir, you'll need to wake up now if you want to get to work by 9 a.m. Okay, great.
That sounds awesome, actually.
Yes. There's heavy traffic or there's rain or whatever. Like, oh, perfect. And, you know, by the way, I've calculated an optimal alternate route, but it's going to take 15 minutes later. Oh, thanks, Siri. I'll get out of bed now. So that part of it, the convenience is awesome. But to Cam's point, to all of your points, yeah, let's talk Big Brother. I mean, because already I believe the OnStar-enabled cars have some kind of kill switch that law enforcement can use to just turn off, right? Or something along those lines. Or they can at least dial in and have OnStar shut it down, from what I understand.
Well, so, there's LoJack.
If the car's stolen or something.
So
but I think, Tom, you're right. I think they can actually, like, shut the engine off, like, remotely.
Yeah. So how do you guys feel? You know, we live in an age of the police running around with battle tanks and G.I. Joe equipment already. What do you think about handing over to these same organizations the ability to stop your movement through the environment at will?
The only way, I will say, I don't think, like, dumb cars will be completely replaced. So, you know, keep your old car for those purposes. But the only way for you to avoid that, in my opinion, is to just never drive again.
Mm.
It's going to happen. It has happened. We should have had this conversation 10 years ago, not today.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get a visual image of, like, a 1980s style action flick where the guy goes under the hood and rips something out and then goes, "So much for a self-driving car," and throws it out the window as he's trying to evade the SWAT team that's trying to find him.
The case will be made, and this is the same case that's made in favor of surveillance. Well, geez, if you're not doing anything wrong, what do you need the ability to get away from the cops for?
I hate that.
Yeah. You know, it's for when the cops are the ones doing wrong. Actually, I don't like that level of godlike control over people, you know, just in principle.
I mean, that's a bullshit argument, in my opinion. So I don't want to give it any credibility whatsoever, but it's done.
The easiest way to say that is if the cops can do it, then other entities can do it as well.
No, I'm not even worried about, like, some kid with a fucking hacker fetish doing it or anything like that, because that stuff's pretty secure. Planes don't fall out of the sky.
True.
I mean, it's the same thing. Like, why don't you just hack a plane and deliver it to your house and rob everybody? Because it's really hard. Maybe Russia could do that, but fucking 4chan, no chance, you know?
So you're confident that these things will be hardened enough to prevent hacking. What bothers you is the legally sanctioned access that the government will have.
Well, no, it doesn't even bother me because it's too late.
They have it. It's getting baked in from the outset, you're saying.
Right. Go live in the mountains of Washington or whatever, the forest of Washington. And
well, it's an interesting thought. I mean, how much, for the insane amount of convenience we're imagining, how much of your freedom and your autonomy are you willing to give up? And what's the limit? I mean, at a certain point, do you give up the right to drive on certain roads? Will there always be surface streets that allow you to drive under your own power? I mean, like, at a certain point, when do you just give up and be like, oh, you know what, just herd me to my destination?
I think herd is exactly the right word, because I think 98% of people would not give up the convenience of OnStar or even SatNav for privacy.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you end up with is, instead of 50,000 misguided shepherds on the road, a handful who you hope have your best interests at heart as they're guiding you efficiently to your destination, right?
We've had this discussion before. I'm not so worried about the government finding anything about me, because there's no money in that. The lack of privacy is, you can be damn sure when you get in the car, there's going to be a McDonald's ad.
True. But Brian, what if that means you don't have to pay for like recharging? Like McDonald's is happy to bring you a full battery. Now check out our new McTriple Deluxe on the way to work. Would you like to stop in a drive-thru? Every drive-thru you pass, one of Triple Deluxe? How about a pie? What do you think about an ice cream cone right now? Ooh, they're just constantly bombarding you with ads on the way to work.
If I can monopolize for a second, here's my prediction for the future. Google is pushing this because they're going to rent the cars. You won't need to own a car. You won't need to have a license. You won't need to pay for insurance. You're going to have a Netflix subscription to smart driving cars, and it's going to be subsidized by the McDonald's paint job and the Dunkin' Donuts coffee in the car when you pull up.
Oh my God, you're right. Brian, you're right. You're not going to be in a rolling billboard. You're going to be in a rolling, like,
convenience store.
Yes, a basket of products already picked out for you. Oh my God.
The Uber service will know if you're doing long distance and if you need luggage or not. And if you don't, it'll send a car instead of a trunk. It'll have a store in the back.
Holy shit.
And you'll probably be able to place your order before it picks you up, and people will probably fucking love it.
Shit, I mean, I could even see at some point, if you're going on a long haul, like, I sure would like some Wendy's. If the Wendy's truck just pulls up and, like, rendezvous with you.
And your insurance premiums will go up because Google knows you eat like shit, but no one will care.
What do you think about that? It'd be like an air-to-air refueling thing, but they just shove the Wendy's into your, like, food port. Your Jack-in-the-Box will arrive in 3 minutes. Yay! Holy shit.
I don't know. That coffee in the dashboard already is sounding really tempting.
Having my car pull up at the temperature I like with my coffee the way I like it, ready to go, and being able to know that I could just, like, watch videos or read or even work on the way to work, that's damn enticing. And I don't know. That doesn't sound awful. I'm smiling thinking about it.
I love the idea of getting, like, half an hour's extra sleep or something like that. Your car knows, hey, it's a light traffic day, so sleep in. And it calls your cell phone. It says, don't wake him up yet. And it pulls up with your coffee, with your bagel, with whatever. You don't have to stop. You don't have to wait in line.
And since Damn. The car is driving and you aren't, there's no need for legal tinting. So the windows are completely blacked out. So they save on air conditioning and you can nap in peace.
And the cops, it's not like the cops need to see through your tinting because they know who's in there already.
They probably have a video.
Right. Holy shit.
Well, they have to have it on video because that's for liability. If something happens, they want to know what happened in the car when the boo-boo happened, you know?
I'll sell Cam on this right now. Think of how green those fucking cars would be.
Yeah. My greenness and sort of at my personal, I guess, my personal autonomy and my personal privacy. But, you know, like you said, it's probably out the window. It is out the window.
But think
point,
of it,
think,
though.
Anyway. You can keep your own car. You can maintain that on the side. But I think this would be awesome for 90% of people's 90% of travel.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, especially if it becomes a very affordable option compared to, you know, a car payment plus maxed out insurance.
Dude, how much you pay in gas? How much you pay in insurance? And how much do you pay in, like, maintenance and tires and this and that? Dude, $100, $200 a month for a car would not sound that bad. What's your car payment? $250, $350?
Yeah.
It's half of that for a fucking beautiful, self-driving, comfortable car that you don't have to do anything with.
And then with no insurance needed or radically reduced insurance.
No, what's your liability apart from any damage you do to the interior of the car? You have none, right?
You'd make out. Like, if you got an accident or whatever, you'd sue the hell out of Google.
Right. Cam, again, no legal advice being offered, but why would I need insurance in this case? Like, what am I liable for?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd be liable for any, you know, acts that you committed. I mean, the problem is that, I mean, Google's not stupid. You know, whatever, if they sell you a car, they're probably going to make you sign away a lot of the rights that, you know, like,
yes.
you're basically saying, look, this is a self-driving car. We're warranting up to this level of, like, okay, if there is a, like, catastrophic malfunction, you know, based on something that we did, okay, you know, we can be sued. But if there's, you know, if there's things that are outside of our, you know, control, you know, we're not liable for that. And that's going to make a lot of lawyers really rich, fighting over what that is and where the line is drawn on that. But, you know, I mean, I'm sort of coming around to what you guys were saying. Like, I mean, I can see how it really provides a big benefit, and I can see a big company like Uber or something like that coming in just with a fleet of cars and saying, look, you don't even need to own a car.
Yeah.
Just, it's like Netflix. Just pay us, you know, $100 or like you said, Brian, $200 a month, and we will come and pick you up and take you wherever you got it. You just give us your schedule. Tell us, you know, at least 24 hours in advance or whatever, however long in advance. These, you know, this is how much time, or even give you an allotment of time per day of like how much, you know, car usage you can have, you know, or monthly or whatever, almost like cell phone minutes.
There'll be tiers.
Yeah. And, you know, for the people that are cheap, maybe you can like carpool, like it'll optimize like, okay, you're going here, you're going there, this person's going there. So we're going to pick this person up, then go get that person, then go this person, you know, and drop you guys off in succession. Or if you just want to be on your own, like you pay a little more and, you know, comes and gets you and takes you where you need to go.
You know what? I feel like an idiot now because I just realized something we haven't even touched base on. What does this do for company cars?
Well, I think that companies would just have their own fleet of those.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they have their service. Yeah.
Exactly. This would make doing the car fleet thing 10 times easier. You would know where your employees are and what they're doing. And if they say,
hell.
In fact, Google could sell to the company. Yes. Here is the next level of options where you can see what your employees were doing, where they were when they claimed
Wi-Fi
to be somewhere
recording.
Else.
Hell, it could be a perk.
All the things about mileage and travel time would go completely out of the employee's hands, and it would become another, you know, resource for a company to use for tax benefits or something. They'd love it.
And, I mean, it could almost be like a perk. Let's say that you're an air conditioning tech or something who, you know, you've got to go on this job, that job, and the other thing. And the boss, he doesn't want you moonlighting or goofing off or using the truck for anything other than what he's paying you for. Well, guess what? You don't even have to go into the dispatch office to get your truck. It pulls up with your equipment and your schedule for the day. And it just drops you off at work. It's like all that headache has gone off the worker's back too. I don't know. And that's just talking of you were speaking of company cars that are used in the fulfillment of the job duties, right, Chris?
Or just getting people to carpool together?
Yeah. Well, now that's a great employee perk. Hey, if you come work for us, like, you know, we contracted with Google Cars, so we'll send a car for you every day.
Google that's already does that. Package. You've heard about all the rumbling in San Francisco, right?
What about the free shuttles and stuff that they do?
The free shuttles Google and other guys do, and they've become unofficial bus stops, and people are trying to slide on them, and a little frustration over that, right?
The literal and figurative free rider problem.
Yes, exactly. Well, you speaking of bus stops, you guys have made me think of something else. All the self-driving cars, the shuttles, all this going on, I think in the self-driving future, there's still a role for the cheap, you know, couple dollar per trip transit option, because some people probably can't afford the $200 a month, you know, thing, the people who are on the lower end of the pay scale. You still have transit, but now transit also becomes more efficient because cars get the fuck out of the way of the bus. Like, when the bus is coming, you know, without delaying people or anything, the bus has an unobstructed path from one stop to the next. So it's not caught behind a bunch of idiots, you know, swerving between lanes and doing everything else.
Their signs, let the bus back in. Compulsory.
Yes. You will now let the bus back in. That's it. And as well, you know, for areas where the bus doesn't have a place to pull off the road to pick up, your car will just reroute around it. Like, it's just nobody's in anybody's way, and it's convenient for everyone. And let's say I take transit to work. Doom, doom. There's a 10-minute delay on the train and a 5-minute delay on the bus, so you should get up now. Oh, great. I mean, it works with private transit. It works with public transit. Wow, you know what? Market that McTriple to me all day in exchange for this.
By the way, Google, nerdextravaganza@gmail.com for our for our consulting fee tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
You'll be able to move everything into your car. Your Pandora station will be there. Your Firefox session, you can log into it.
Fuck, you could have a Skype call, like, yes, while you're in the car. You know what I mean? You could be, like, on video with someone in China while you're, you know, on your way to work.
It'll be legal to text in a car again.
Yes! All this, yes, yes, yes.
Brush your teeth, put on makeup.
Whoa!
That doesn't stop people.
Well, they do it now. Illegal.
Yeah, I was going to say, people don't do that. People do that already.
But now at least somebody will be driving or something.
Yeah, right.
So, guys, buses, cars were cool. Let me ask the most far-fetched question. Are we ever going to see the pilotless plane, the self-flying airplane that just takes you where you're going, and it's essentially a drone with seats in it?
Dude, pilots are only there for human perception. They exist. They've been flying for years. Pilots, like, put their hands on the reins for takeoff and landing and then just chill.
It's one of the reasons why pilots don't get, their salary is not maintained the level it used to in the past, because they keep downgrading them because companies feel like they don't get as much out of a pilot as they used to. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think pilots are worth it. Don't get me wrong about that, but that's been the company excuse for not keeping pay to the way it used to be back in the day.
But Chris, let's talk about worth it. Cross-country flight, you know, on Delta right now, let's say they're charging $1,000 or something. Mm-hmm. Just throwing a number out there for the sake of argument. Cross-country flight on, you know, Delta, what's the word? On E-Delta, mm-hmm, which is a electronic flying, self-flown plane.
Delta drone.
Yeah, Delta E is $400. I mean, you don't think some people are like, I'm okay without the pilot?
Well, some could. I still like the idea of a trained operative at the front to handle anything when the system goes down, just off that odd chance it may happen. I like to pay. That would be, people would go like, would you like to buy insurance? No, my insurance is already on the plane. Thank you.
What do you guys think? Do you think the public will ever accept a pilotless plane? Or to Chris's point, will they always want to know that there's somebody there to panic and push buttons and try to avoid the inevitable crash if things go wrong?
No, I think once the data is out that pilots just make things worse, drivers make things worse, pilots make things worse, captains make things worse.
Yeah, what about you, Cam?
I mean, I think it's going to take a lot of convincing. I mean, I don't know that I'd get on a plane that didn't have someone there just in case, you know, because there's always, I mean, whether it's, if you probably really sat down and analyzed the data, you know, human error is probably a lot worse than computer error or computer malfunction, but I don't know. There's just that perception that, you know, there needs to be someone awake at the stick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, and, you know, to Brian's point, he's right. I mean, a lot of these planes, I think, take off and land on their own anyway. You know what I mean? There's just guys just sitting there making sure, you know, everything goes okay. But I would think that it's going to take a lot longer for that to happen. Like, I think the cars will be adopted way before the airplanes are. And then even when they are, it's going to take a lot, because it's one thing if you get into a car accident, 99 times out of 100, it's not going to cause, probably not going to cause, like, you know, serious, serious injury or death. And even if it does, it's to, you know, one or two people. I mean, one plane goes down and you're talking hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Dying horribly.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's actually kind of just coincidental that at the hotel I was at last week, I was watching a show about why planes crash. And most of the cases were the pilots messing up, not believing their instruments, not listening to the plane. The plane's like, you're stalling. No, I can't be stalling. You're stalling. Nose down. Nah. And, like, the pilots ignored what the plane was trying to tell them. And it was pilot error in most of these cases. It could have just been the show's bias. But
yeah,
even knowing that the plane is probably better at flying itself than a pilot, I feel more secure knowing there's a human at the wheel.
Now, to clarify, we're talking about passengers, passenger planes.
Yeah, cargo planes, who cares? You can crash them all day long, right? Who gives a crap?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what's going to happen, is we're going to see, you know, a lot more of that happen on the cargo side. Now, just to let you know, most people don't know that there is quite a bit of the cargo that goes into a passenger plane is cargo, like FedEx, UPS sort of stuff.
Yeah, they go in the underbelly. I know that because I used to do that stuff in the Air Force, so.
Okay. But yeah, most people don't even know how much cargo actually goes into a plane that's not related to their luggage.
Yeah, they definitely can make some extra cash by moving stuff for those companies, for sure.
But yeah, I agree. When it comes to pure FedEx or UPS, everybody's going to be like, okay, maybe we need one guy to just keep an eye on the green button for a while, and then he can just, you know, be bored for the rest of the trip, if at all.
I'm actually really intrigued. I guess it would work. I mean, I don't really know enough about the actual technology, but you could probably have, instead of, like, air traffic control, you could have a remote cockpit, and the guy in the tower just takes controls of the plane.
Yeah, it could function like a piloted drone now as opposed to an automated one, couldn't it?
That might be the next career path for our retired drone drivers, right?
Or pilots.
Yeah.
You don't fly with your plane. You sit in an airport and park planes all day long.
Well, just to let you know, by the way, the military greatly prefers experienced pilots to be drone pilots as compared to, like, some kid with a talent for the joystick. Because when you're looking through all those video feeds, it takes that trained eye of somebody who's actually been there and seen that on the ground to discern what really is a terrorist camp, what really is a car and everything else.
Well, shit, so much for my alternate career plan.
I said they preferred. Depends on the quota, right?
Yeah, true. True. So self-flying planes, maybe not happening, although sometimes I think you
50 years instead of 20.
Yeah, exactly. And once people get comfortable with the FedEx planes never crashing, some enterprising entrepreneur is going to be like, listen, for a fraction of the cost, I'll get you there on this self-flying plane with no comfort. We just actually put you to sleep and pack you in with the cargo because you'd probably rather be passed out than on a plane for 8 hours.
I've actually read about that in a couple of sci-fi novels. Basically, you just kind of jack into your virtual reality world and you never know that your body was moved.
Oh, God. Anything to not endure the agony of a plane. Of course, that's because I don't have status with an airline to fly first class. So that's why I say that. First class is tolerable. But, I think, we agree airplanes are the last frontier. Well, okay, one last frontier, speaking of which I wouldn't mind talking about. Brian brought it up in terms of the cars themselves. But how long is it going to be before McDonald's is just basically an elaborate kiosk? That somebody goes in and loads burger patties into a burger cartridge and, you know, lettuce and all that. And other than having technicians service the machinery and people come deliver the ingredients, there's no human interaction at all. You walk up, you push your order in, and it spits it out.
$15 an hour minimum wage is really rocketing that forward.
I think you might be onto something.
I think affordable lab meat is what's holding it back.
You've heard of pink slime, right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, when it's cheaper to buy a burger than it is a head of lettuce, I don't know how much more affordable we can get.
In Europe, they have a lot of things that are already sort of like that. Even in the airports, I've seen recently, like, it's just like a conveyor belt of things that are just sort of just going around, and you want something, you like take it off, like you pay and it like comes off the conveyor belt, like right in front of you. Like it's getting there. It's definitely getting there.
I honestly don't see McDonald's being too far behind on that. You just punch in your order, it prepares, or no, you're on your way in your self-driving car. you submit your order. The McDonald's factory begins pumping it out. You pull up to the drive-thru, it's ready to go.
God, if we really wanted to, like, pretend or play make-believe or whatever, you could really easily launch a drone and have it delivered to a car in traffic.
Yeah, man, that's what I was saying with the Wendy's rendezvous machine. I totally want, like, an air-to-air refueling scenario where the drone just drops off my artery-clogging filth for me to eat.
No, it'll be fortified with vitamins.
Yes, I'm sure it will. In the future when Taco Bell... Yes. So yeah, look for it in the future when Taco Bell is fine dining. To make another reference to Demolition Man.
Demolition Man, yes.
I think that is an underappreciated classic.
Oh, I love that movie. No, yeah, I think fondly on that one.
Wesley Some of it Snipes. Has become kind of prescient.
Don't ever learn the secret of the shells. It's terrifying. Yeah.
I don't want to know. I hope they never reveal that in the lore. I want to imagine.
Murder, death, kill.
Oh, God. So anyway, that's it. Guys, I think I'm satisfied that we've discussed our new automated future. I just hope they find a way to automate all of my biological processes so I can live in that world forever. Because when it's 100% convenience, I mean, who wants to die?
Exactly.
Anything else you guys want to bring up before we put this one on autopilot and bring it in for a landing?
I think we've driven it off the rails enough.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, I sense the off-ramp coming up.
Okay, in that case, we'll disengage self-drive mode and pull into the garage. We'll let the motoring public know, of course, that they can catch their Travaganza podcast weekly on iTunes or through Stitcher.
They can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, add us to their Google circle, and join the Nerdtravaganza HQ group on Facebook.
Commute on over to our website, nerdstravaganza.com, and check out this and all of our back episodes. Hop on over to YouTube, pop Nerdstravaganza into the handy-dandy search bar, and check out all of our videos and board game reviews, movie reviews, and other premium video content. And shoot us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this or any other topic that is on your mind. And also, folks, please don't forget to hit us up on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave us a favorable review, and we'll be sure to enter you into the running for some amazing Star Trek and Doctor Who memorabilia, which we are giving away through the end of the year.
And with all that said, Chris, drive us out of here.
Ding! Sunroof opening. Ding! Big Mac incoming in 3, 2, 1.
See, Michael, that's what we needed you for.
Yeah. We did need Michael for that one. No, that was good, Chris.